Okay, here we go. And a one, and a two. And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 67, and the title is Green Lantern, Rise of the Third Army, The Story So Far. I'm Chris Mosby.
Yeah, and I'm Caleb Gerard, and the subtitle for this episode is Convince Me I Should Be Reading the Green Lantern Books.
Yeah, see, it's a good concept. I don't know, this is kind of a big changer in the Green Lantern mythos right now, and I wanted to cover it. So, at the same time, I'll convince him that he needs to read this. So,
And Murray would rather be, you know, I don't know, making money than talking to us about comic books this morning. So.
Yeah, well, I think that was a predetermined even before we decided on this, but that's cool.
Oh yeah, no. He's got to see priority A or priority B. We'll go ahead and
exactly. And once again, I have a cold, so please bear with me. My snotty disposition. See how what I did there.
Well, if you're up Waterloo, just real quick, if you're up Waterloo, Canada direction.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Marie goes out and he sells his own pottery at local art shows every couple weeks, and that's where he is today. He is.
Yep.
He's pushing his own art. So, I'm jealous. I wish I had art to push.
Yeah, me too, actually. Now I think about it.
No dreadlocks, though.
No dreadlocks. I don't want them.
No, my dreadlocks, they look like a pain in the ass.
I mean, you know, they're okay for some people, but, you know, not for me.
No? You get stuck at your job with dreadlocks?
I don't know. That probably wouldn't go over very well. Reminds me, I have to wear dressy clothes because they're having visitors to the campus tomorrow. So usually I get to wear jeans, which is very nice. Alrighty, let's get into this.
Okay. Yes. Enough with the divergence and the distractions and the dreadlocks.
Let's see. Start off with the.
Let me confess real quick. Mm-hmm. I have been keeping up with Green Lantern.
Okay.
The new Boz-driven Green Lantern.
Yeah, that started his. They pretty much. I was going to get into that a little bit because the end of the first 12 issue story arc of the new 52 Green Lantern. Kind of ended in Green Lantern Annual number 1, which came out August 29th. And, you know, thanks to Comixology, we are not paid compensated in any way. But Black Hand gets loose and zaps Hal and Sinestro. By the way, spoilers. And we don't really know what happens to them until a little bit later. They apparently are in the actual ring, his Black Hand ring. But anyway, it's in that issue where you see things that have been rumored for several months. The Guardians decide that, like the Manhunters, the Green Lanterns, their plan for the Green Lanterns failed. And it's not enough order for them. So they hatch a plan, and you see, we go to this planetoid of some kind, and it is a vault that you find out that half of the Guardian race split off from it to stay behind and guard what was inside there. And it turns out to be the first lantern, they call it. You don't get to see the Lantern's face, but he's like in some kind of funky looking lantern made out of energy, and they use it to power after killing most of the Guardians that were in the vault. they show a scene of them slitting one of them's throat after, you know. And
now wait a minute. I thought they only killed one. Did they kill more than one of the guards?
It looks like they killed a bunch of them, but maybe they did just kill one. And I don't know, because I know a bunch of them were talking after that.
In the latest issue, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, they comes up.
So it was unclear in the art what had actually.
Yeah, I think maybe. Yeah, and then Black Can't takes him over. Uses him later, but I'm looking through the annual right now. But yeah, they got this, had this first lantern, and he looks humanoid looking, and he's been trapped in this deal, and apparently they couldn't control him. So yeah, Black Hand overpowers Sinestro and the others, and the rings reemerge because Hal's ring was a construct of Sinestro's, and it takes off. So yeah. That's what's going on there. So the Guardians use the power of the First Lantern to create a pretty much a new race. I don't think they've ever named it. They just call it their Third Army. And pretty much what its deal is, it's kind of like a biomechanical. Well, yeah, it's like a genetic construct that they, you know, it's pretty much like the Borg. They jump on somebody and they transform them into one of them.
Eyeballs.
Yeah, the eyeballs are the only thing that's the same, which that'll come in later. And their hearts get like expunged from their chest. Yeah. Oh yeah. So that's how that starts. So, and next up, you go into Green Lantern number 0, and that is where Baz shows up. The lantern with a gun, which is weird because he never has a gun through the whole thing. I think that that's just, they just did that to charge people up. Oh, it's an Arab with a gun. Anyway, I don't think he ever carried a gun in this whole so far.
He makes a big deal about saying that his only thing is that he is a car thief.
Yeah. So he apparently steals a car that has a bomb in it. And, of course, now he's branded as a terrorist, and he's getting, quote-unquote, interrogated somewhere. And as he's having a fist fight and about to get shot with his captors, the Green Lantern ring comes in, which we find out later it is Sinestro's ring when the Justice League show up. But anyway, it busts him out. He doesn't, you know, really know what's going on. So yeah, that's interesting. That starts that story. Let's see, I went back too far. There we go.
The way the ring is behaving, the one that he took or got or chose him.
Yeah.
It seems like it's malfunctioning.
Yes, I think Sinestro did something to it.
If I remember correctly, that ring that he got is kind of a combination of the full-blown ring that Sinestro had and the half-ass ring that Hal Jordan had, right?
Right. Yeah, that combined in the annual. Apparently, when they had the big deal when they stripped Hal of his ring, see, he killed a Guardian, it was a bad Guardian, but still, he killed a Guardian. That's why they stripped his ring in the first place. And whatever was left, there was, you know, a lot of Lanterns died during that deal. And I don't remember if that was Hal's ring before or it was Sinestro's ring off of somebody else. And when he got it, it wouldn't come off, and he didn't want it. And even the Guardians couldn't take it off, and they practically ripped his arm off trying to get it off. So something was wrong with it in the first place. But he'd made a ring for Hal to get him to help him. And Hal was ready to quit, but he went ahead and did it. So go ahead.
Why did he choose to do it? I mean, I thought he was like, you know what? I'm done. Forget it. Screw it.
Hal?
Yeah.
Sinestro didn't really give him much choice. He kind of, like, put the ring on him and, like, zapped him out, you know. Okay. And there was some stuff with the Indigo Tribe, and you find out that the Indigo Tribe was made by Ivan Sur, that was earlier, before, to fight the Guardians. And now we know why, because the prophecy, of course, quote-unquote, the prophecy, was that they would be dangerous someday. Well, their whole plan is to use their third army to pretty much just take over the minds of every being in the universe so there would be perfect order. They're pretty much off the rocker. So, let's see, Green Lantern Corps number zero, that is a origin of the pretty much an origin of Guy Gardner. Kind of interesting, kind of changed a few things. And the Red Lantern number zero.
Wait a minute, let's go back. What changed? I know. So what changed for Guy?
Well, they kind of gave a little bit more background. I'm not a real big on Guy's origin, so I mean, some of that might be still there. But you know, apparently he was in the police academy for a while and got kicked out, and I guess his whole family is cops, even his little sister. And either he was on the force or didn't make it through the academy. I'm not really sure. I don't remember exactly, but
he stopped making sound effects and
something
and poopy noises. Okay,
sorry. I think it had, and they show a little bit of it. It had something to do, I guess, his dad was a cop, and I don't know. I guess his brother was pinned down. I don't know. They show this big long thing and. He did a bunch of stuff that got him kicked off of the force, but right before all of it, that's when the ring came and picked him up. And he was never Hal Jordan's replacement, because that, I believe at one time, because, you know, he had to have a replacement figured out, and it seems like Guy was supposed to be, was the first choice that the ring picked, but then it went and picked on John Stewart because he was in the hospital or something like that. But the way they've written it now, he was a rookie and was trained by Kilowog just like everybody else. And he got bumped up early because he fought this, you know, this big villain who was just fighting, you know, this planet. And it took on a bunch of rookies and all this other stuff. And then this character, which I think is called Zor or something like Zon or something like that. He ends up being into the story later on. And so they set up his origin and this bad guy's characterization at the same time, which is kind of interesting. So I don't remember any of that being in the background of Guy before. Because it seems like he was like a football player in college and all this other stuff, and that's what the deal was. But... And it shows, the very last page of it shows Guy and Hal Jordan meeting for the first time on Oa.
The only reason he wasn't originally chosen to be the quote-unquote backup Green Lantern was he was in a coma or he was paralyzed.
Yeah, exactly. Like so Valdat is gone, and he was picked of his own right.
Okay.
But I guess... The stuff he did, I think he was off duty and he answered a call to his brother who's getting overrun by gangbangers. And his brother's partner was killed and he pretty much killed a bunch of people doing that. And apparently that was too much and that's what got him drummed off to the force. But he did save his brother's life pretty much with the ring. So anyway...
So he has a big. They established that he has a big family, which I don't remember before. But I
just remember the dad. But yeah, he's got a younger sister and an older brother and a angry father because he ended up not being a cop, and that comes into play a little bit in Green Lantern Corps.
Now again, why did he get kicked off out of the academy?
Well, they don't really say. They just show him fighting these you know, gangbangers in the whole bit, you know. So I guess that's what got him drummed off the force. I don't remember. He says, at least his dad's getting on to him. My story doesn't end with me getting kicked off the force for getting innocent folks killed. And somebody, the report was filed wrong. So that's why he was kicked off the force. Very interesting. But it looked like it was because he was helping I don't know. No, that was after. Okay, I'm confused. It's been a while since I've read this. Okay, they're having that argument, and they're showing these guys. It's later on that night that he has his argument with his dad that his brother gets caught in, by gangbangers, and that's when he shows up. So that had nothing to do with it. But anyway, apparently, and how Guy was, he's kind of hot-headed, so he probably did something and people got hurt, and that kicked him off the force over it. But anyway, so he's got a pretty big family now. And like I said, this villain will show up soon, too. So.
Okay.
So that was a little bit of background there. The Red Lanterns number 0 is listed in this, but it actually is just an origin of Atrocious, which, that a little bit of rehash, a little bit of new material. The Manhunters, destroyed his sector, killed his family, and rage. Pretty much it.
You're not selling that book really hard.
They're just tying it together. When the actual Third Army story starts, that's a little bit more into it. But as far as that number 0, not so much. And I think they should have included the Green Lantern New Guardians number 0 as well, because that book pretty much restarted from scratch, from what I could tell. Because the Sapphire, I guess in number 12, they resolved the storyline that started it in the first place, why those rings all came to Kyle. Apparently, it was the Guardian that had aligned with Larfleeze, did all that as some kind of plot, and then after they figured all that out, all of the ones, the ring bearers that was with Kyle, they just took off. But apparently he doesn't need those rings to channel the other emotional spectrum, and that's what you, when you get to that in the Green Lantern New Guardians, Atrocious is working with him, and he finally gets him to do rage, so he can do will at just whenever he wants, which heals people, whatever, and of course the love. Well, I think I'm going to show the love, but anyway, Carol Ferris is the Star Sapphire again. At the end of one of the issues, the Zamoronians, they aligned back up with the Guardians to take this with the Third Army. But that's, I think that's in Green Lantern number 13. I should have wrote more notes.
No, that's cool. I mean, I guess the thing that all of it sounds interesting, I have to say. I mean, I've said it before, and honestly, I don't knock that you do it. It just feels like the way Geoff Johns is driving the Green Lantern universe. It's just one event leads to another event, leads to another event. And I actually, if there's ever a group of titles that would be appropriate for, it's a cosmic book like this where there should be big events always going on because it's a freaking big universe.
Right. Yeah, and I found an article doing research this morning that says that this is just a prologue to a bigger stuff later on. So that should be interesting. Let's see. Well, the first official issue of the Third Army, Rise of the Third Army, Green Lantern number 13, it starts off, a terrorist has Amanda Waller's talking to Obama. And they're concerned that a terrorist has a Green Lantern ring. and he starts trying to use it and figure it out, and that's when you see a message pop out of it from Hal and Sinestro telling them not to go to the Guardians, that they must get back up, you know, stop the Guardians' error, yeah, and it will come off. So anyway, he's in prison outfit, and you know, and the cops see him, and so anyway, it's a little bit of his background. I guess his sister works at the State Department, and because of his brother in the news, that, you know, she has to go on the sidelines, I guess, and he meets her somewhere, and they're, you know, that's when some of those Third Army people show up on Earth, attack a couple of truckers, and everything, you know, starts getting somewhat interesting. But that's when he starts the mask, and he's apparently can't fly. At the end of the Justice League number 13, the Justice League have come in. Apparently, the president and Amanda Waller have called them in to find out what the deal is. So that should be interesting.
In Green Lantern 13, right?
Yeah, yeah. 14 is when they actually fight.
Have you not read 14 yet?
Yeah, I read it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm up to Green Lantern Corps 14. I'm all caught up. Green Lantern Corps number 13 is where you see basically the Guardians do different things to manipulate both Guy and John. And you see interspaced in there the Third Army attacking people at random and absorbing them in. Noticing, you know, if you look closely at the pictures, that the eyes are the same. That's the only thing that doesn't change. The eyes are the same as the people that were assimilated.
Blech.
And then it shows the Guardian. Well, you don't notice the Guardians, but this the guy that was in the Green Lantern Corps number 0, that bad guy, he gets let loose from the science cell. His name is Zar. Doesn't really show why.
That's the one that Guy was fighting in
when he was a rookie. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's why that whole story was there.
And does John Stewart still play a part in Green Lantern Corps, or is it now a Guy Gardner book?
They're both there, and they start the issue out with making a new rank of Green Lantern and calling it Lantern Sentinel, because he was an honor guard before, which so was Kyle, but then he got, well, that's another story, but then they made Stewart an honor guard as well, but they elevated him up to Lantern Sentinel. And as you read the issue, you see that it's all part of their plan to manipulate both of them. Because they want to send him on a diplomatic mission with some other hardened lanterns to stop a attack on them, and he wanted to take John, but they have another thing for him, and they give him this story about pieces of Mogo flying around trying to reform, so they task him with collecting them.
And Mogo is the living planet that John had to blow up a couple years ago.
Yeah, when it was taken over by the evil Guardian. So they've got him running around hunting those pieces of rock down, and they find out the Zar guy was escaped. So while he's on the diplomatic mission, so his first thing is he knows who his family is. So he's gonna go chase them down, leave some lanterns behind with the diplomats, and leave it like that. So,
a real quick aside, I like how I actually like that touch, and it actually makes me a little more interested in it. Mm-hmm. Is calling him a Sentinel, because that was the code name for Green Lantern Alan Scott,
right,
back in maybe about 10 years ago.
That's right. Yeah, they went through this big deal, had all the lanterns there, and wrote it into the book that now there's a new rank in Lantern Sentinel, but it was all part of their manipulation of them. You slowly start to see that because they're talking to. Next thing you know, that's when you find out he's the one. They're the ones that let Czar out. So they talk to him on a holo vid kind of thing. So
they've lost it.
They're nuts. They really are.
I mean, the status quo could easily be reestablished, though, with the hippie lanterns that are in the vault.
So,
I mean, the hippie guardians, excuse me.
Yeah, there's something going on, with that. And, okay, so Guy's got about, he's only left like two or three of the guardians that were with him. And they take off. They're trying to get to head to Earth as fast as they can to protect Guy's family. And that's when a contingent of the Third Army shows up and attacks them. And the guy Vandor that was with Jordan a while back, who's like a big veteran, they attack and they're able to get through their energy shield pretty quickly. And one of the things that physical touch is what one of the things they do to absorb. And apparently, you see on a page that one of their tactics to break down the Green Lantern's defenses is to actually physically tear off the arm that has the ring on it. Yeah, so you see that, and the Vandor guy gets his arm torn off, and then the next thing you know, he's absorbed, and his heart pops out and all that good stuff. New arm grows, so and so forth. And then you go. He's fighting. That's how they ended Green Lantern Corps 13. Very gruesomely. So, in...
These books are not for kids.
No, he likes his gore. He's kind of like Robert Kirkman in that particular aspect.
Yeah, but Core isn't written by... Or that book's not written by him. He only writes...
Yeah, that's written by... Well, I take that back. I should say the guy that writes, Peter Tomasi, does that. He has been known to be a little gory in that book, so there's been a couple other times people were sliced in half and things like that.
They all take the direction from Geoff Johns.
Yeah.
It's his baby, and they babysit the different part, the different spin-off books.
So, Tony Bedard and Green Lantern New Guardians. And that's a book that I stopped reading because it just wasn't interesting. And I had to go back and read Green Lantern, the number 01 of it, which they don't have listed. But that's, that pretty much where things started over for this title. And you start seeing flashbacks of Kyle's origin as a Green Lantern, and it shows his girlfriend, the famous girl that was stuffed in the refrigerator.
Alex.
Yes, and they're showing flashbacks. He's fighting Atrocious at the same time. And they go back to her and back to him, and Atrocious has actually brought him back to the cemetery where she's buried and beats the crap out of him and throws him into her tombstone to try to get him riled up, which, of course, it's going over, little bits and pieces of his origin, how, she helped him design his costume he wore and yada, 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 and shows just a snippet of him finding his girlfriend in there, and he's all bloodied and being mopey a little bit. Well, he got his butt kicked, and Star Sapphire comes in and separates them, and he pretty much, Atrocious says, "You're just using this kid to get your, boyfriend back, and if I'm going to get this guy to show rage, I need to do it alone." So then you get a little snippet in Sector 2819. You see some other Red Lanterns. They kind of feel something's going on, and next thing you know, you see a bunch of Third Army drones fighting in space. Back to planet Earth.
Have they figured out how to stop the... I mean, has anybody actually seen?
Yes, actually, that happens in this issue.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, wait. It happens in the Red Lantern issue. I take that back. That'll be next. Oh, but anyway, okay. Atrocious has got Kyle held back where he can't do anything. Of course, he's, barely see out of one eye. He's beaten up, and some terrorists are or something. It's one of those oppressive government militant kind of things that you've been seeing in the news lately. And this guy's got this machine gun on, you know, a family, and he holds Kyle back, doesn't let him do anything. And then you get a snippet of his atrocious origin a little bit. And he holds Kyle back, and, you know, one of them shoots the dad in the head, pretty much. And that's when, all of a sudden, boom, it's Raging Kyle Red Lantern, all of a sudden. And he goes in and pretty much acts like a bomber and just, like, rips him to shreds.
Is he spitting blood all over the place?
Yeah, yeah. He's barely coherent in a whole bit, you know. And then he tries to attack Atrocious for not letting him do anything. He stood there and did nothing, and Atrocious just smacks him once and kind of turns him back into Kyle. So at that point, he leaves. He said, "I've done what I was, you know, to do, and I got to go take care of my own stuff." Yada, yada, yada. And you find out in the Red Lantern that apparently something happened to their battery, and they're trying to reform it, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Don't have any idea how that happened. So the next thing you see him do is, through his Green Lantern ring, Kyle, he manifests hope in the people that were injured, you know, beaten up and stuff. He uses that to heal them. So, and... that he goes from there, and he goes back and talks to Star Sapphire. Ooh, interesting.
I thought you'd like that.
Yes. Looking at it, who was the first Lantern? Oh yeah, I remember that. Huh.
Okay. Jeff Jones, basically, I sent Chris a link.
Yeah.
Sending you a link about these theories about who the first Lantern is, because from my point of view, not being a big Green Lantern reader, mm-hmm. I thought he just, Jeff Johns just pulled it out of his butt at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, this is way back from...
But this goes back to way pre-reboot. Well, maybe not way. I don't know when Green Lantern ended, what issue it ended on the Flashpoint, but they do show him before. I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought there.
No, that's fine.
I just kept thinking, God, this, I mean, again, he just keeps pulling crap.
Yeah,
you know?
And I remember that, because they're showing a scene from back when they were all, you know, when they had that deal, they had to manifest other ring powers because that's when Mogo was killed. They had to manifest other rings because the green rings were infected and the Corona could be able to control people through it. So, you know, Kyle did yellow Hal did the Sinestro ring because he welded that. And John was compassion, and Rage was guy, and the willpower was, he had a blue ring, Kyle did. So and they mentioned it, and I'd forgotten about that. So that should be interesting. I'll have to look at that over later.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I think that's how they end the book. Oh, yeah, they fly off together, Star Sapphire and Kyle. They talk about, well, it's time to go after Fear, so we're going to go after that Arkillo guy, because he's the only Yellow Lantern left in the Green Lantern comic. That was one of the things that he got Hal to do, because he left the Yellow Lanterns on his home planet of Korugar, and they were terrorizing everybody, because they had earlier found out that Sinestro was a Green Lantern, and, you know, they were pretty angry. So apparently he built a failsafe into the Yellow Ring that somebody had a green ring and flew into the center of it. It would disintegrate the Yellow Battery. And between the two of them, that's exactly what they did. Okay. That's when Arkillo, the guy that got his tongue ripped out by Mongol, it was later healed by one of the Blue Lanterns. But anyway... he was with them, with the New Guardians, doing that stuff, which it was really boring story, so I'm not even going to get into it. But anyway, that's when that all happened, but somehow he still has his power. And I'm sure that was decided in the New Guardians book, because that's when he was with them. But they're going to go after him, so he can, you know, do that. And then in the last scene, it shows another bunch of people being in a space liner being attacked by apparently they're research scientists. And the planet they were flying over apparently is very worried about diseases, and they were going to check them for infections before they could travel any further. And they just pretty much took the place over and absorbed all of them. So that's all right. Next, New Guardians will be Kyle versus Arkillo, which should be interesting. So that's what's going on there. See, they're not really tied together yet. They're kind of like, they're still kind of separate books. Okay, so Red Lantern's number 13. It starts off with a story, and you're on some planet, and it's a typical, tyrannical leader is terrorizing the people, and he takes these two sisters, and one of them's the dancing girl, and one of them is like, you know, it's that kind of thing. He's forcing them to do things because, you know, he can't. We'll just leave it at that. And one of the not quite as pretty smarter one.
Aren't they all?
Yeah. She makes him mad enough, she gets killed, and pretty much the younger one is forced to, you know, serve this guy. Well, there's a pulse of rage, apparently, because you see these three lanterns, including that chick with the bone wings. They're standing over what looks like it's kind of like a translucent version of their battery, and they're standing there kind of playing with skulls and, you know, pouring the blood around or whatever, and it's just the three of them. One I've never seen before, and they're just kind of floating there, and they feel it, you know. So the next year, you're back to this planet, and the chick has decided to, you know, really use her feminine wiles as much as possible, and gains her trust, gets them drunk, runs away.
Whoa! Sorry.
All right, it's nice theme music. So anyway, she escapes, goes to this couple. I guess chick isn't happy with her husband either, so, you know, whatever. These guys show up looking for her, and the husband says, you know, yeah, she's in there, and you can take my wife too, because I'm tired of her.
Take my wife, please.
Yeah. So, of course, she causes enough trouble, the guy just kills her, and the wife. And, you know, she's laying there bleeding, blah, yada, 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 and that's when Atrocious shows up with his other two lanterns. And in, you know, bloody fisticuffs, arms getting torn off, heads getting torn off, faces burns with acid, that kind of thing goes on. And then all of a sudden, here come, the Earth Red Lantern is there. I think his name is Scorch, because that's what he says a lot. But anyway, they're fighting these.
Scorch?
Yeah, Scorch. He's kind of flaming a little bit.
Now, is that the guy from way back in issue 1 or 0? Or
yeah, I think it is. He's from Earth.
The brother of the... Okay.
Yeah, we thought, oh, yeah, he's going to be a Red Lantern. Well, apparently it looks like that's exactly what happened. So that's when the Red Lanterns show up, and Atrocious uses one of the dead robber bandit-type people as a club and knocks him for a loop. But apparently doesn't kill him, and they're, you know, he's concerned that his most powerful blow did not fell them, and he's blasting them with his rage powers, and nothing's happening. And he's like, they feel no rage, and the chick with the acid burn hands, her acid touch isn't doing anything, and they're, you know, they're fighting and yada yada yada. Well, the one with the acid touch, which apparently is a one of Atrocious's favorites, because he's very upset when her arm with the ring gets torn off, and the assimilator post haste. So then he realizes, he actually notices the eyes, and he realizes the more I resist, the more they want to kill me. So he just jumps in there, and that's when he notices the eyes. That the eyes are different. Everything else about them is the same about the eyes. So he just decides, well, I wonder what happens if I remove them. And he just puts his thumbs in the eyeballs and, you know, squeezes them. And
really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's what he does. He just says, well, I wonder what happens if I remove them. And you just see it from behind the Third Army guy with his, you know, teeth thing. And he's just... You know.
Oh.
So, and he's got this yellow blood on his hands, and well, that red Third Army guy's, you know, in pain. Well, apparently, it hurts all of them. They all feel it, and as we learn, they're kind of like a hive mind, like some other villain that assimilates people. Anyway, so.
Yeah, but I'm like, when the Borg, when one dies, they just or gets dead.
Yeah, it's a little different that way because, you know, apparently they feel pain. One of them feels pain while doing the eye thing than they all do. So they all after that they all get up and they're looking at him. And the last scene is them, the three that are still alive, surrounded by what's left of the Third Army, about to attack them. And they show the chick that brought them there in the first place with her rage, about to bleed to death, and then one of those Third Army guys walks up behind her and assimilates her, and that's how they leave that issue. So that was actually kind of interesting.
Now, one of the things I'm also surfing a little bit, and I'm seeing that the Third Army, sometimes their brains are exposed, sometimes their brains are not exposed.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Is that just do you think that's just artistic choice?
I think it's probably an artistic thing, yeah.
Okay. So the eyes are turning out and I don't know if it showed it in that scene, but when he, you know, ate the eyeballs or popped the eyeballs out or whatever the hell he did, gross. Yeah. Did it affect only the local Third Army or did it affect
it only showed the ones that were there.
Okay.
Whether it hit all of them or not, I don't know. But yeah, he attacked the one that was used to be his Red Lantern, and she had these, you know, bright red orbs with no irises. It was just, you know, solid red. And now, so thumbs and eyeballs to her.
Okay, that's yeah. Icky.
Yeah, that's just standard gruesomeness for that book, I'm sure, because they're raging in that book, I hear. So.
They poop blood.
Green Lantern number 14. This is when you really get the clue that the Guardians have totally lost it, because you start off on Oa, and the Guardians are talking, and they're using their hands, doing wiggly things out of them into this big glowing green ball thing. And they're kind of recapping what they've done so far. They got rid of Hal Jordan and Sinestro. They have, Guy Gardner will be broken soon. The others will follow. And it shows John and Kyle. And they're talking about how the Third Army continues to convert all its encounters. And it shows a picture of the different fights that you've seen. Free will is disintegrating across the universe. As harsh as it is, a single mind of all sentient beings it will result in perfect order. In less than 3 months, the Third Army will be nearly all that exists through the universe, and a few remaining individual minds will not be enough to concern ourselves with. They will die out eventually. So then the First Lantern starts asking him questions. Why are you doing this? And they're kind of having a philosophical debate, and, you know, that ends. And
which usually the guy who's stuck in a ball of energy is usually the loser of that debate, at least for the time.
Yeah, well, they pretty much said is once they get to the point where they want, then they'll have enough power to destroy him. Apparently, they can't do that. He's powerful enough to destroy them, and that's why they have him caged.
I guess I'm confused. How do they get power? How do they get power from having all of these First Lanterns, or are they just going to, you think they'll just use the First Lantern to...
Yeah, it says, your power is necessary in fueling our third army, but now, once we have converted the universe, you will no will longer be needed, and we will have the ability to destroy you. That's what they're telling him. He's been in that for a millennia. There's another little thing. And apparently he's not exactly bit, because he's arguing with him to say, you're doing away with souls, and souls are what makes life so wonderful. And probably Gantt tells him, you only value souls so that you may torture them. You are an emotional sadist and a reality-bending monster. And I find it amusing to discover what little monsters you have become over these last millennia. When I escape, you will be the first ones I have fun with. Interesting.
So he's not a good guy either.
No. Cut to Kabaz, and the Justice League is facing him down, and he goes, you're the Justice League. He says, yes. Yes, Baz, we're the Justice League, and you're a wanted criminal. And he just kind of looks at him. You see his face, and that shows them looking at him, and he goes, you don't expect me to fight you, do you? And then it says, I mean, you're Superman. This is funny. He says, I mean, you're Superman. Even if I knew you to use this, knew how to use this ring, you'd kick my ass by yourself. And then he says, and he's standing there, and he's like, his arms out. It's like, maybe I could take Batman. And then Batman says, he's a Green Lantern, all right.
It was a great moment, I'm sorry about the direction it went. I thought this was a really,
that was a cool moment there.
Built up to some really great stuff that could happen from the way the direction. He's like, you know what? I can't beat you guys. I already know it. Let's just, you know, don't worry about me, man. But then John's, I think, unfortunately, he kind of ruined the moment at that point.
Yeah. And then there's the whole thing, and Aquaman makes a mention that only when a Green Lantern dies that does a ring choose a new bearer. And then Barry says, I hope it was Gardner, and he's like, .. I'm going to hell for that, aren't I? And see, that wasn't really appropriate either, but hey, you know, whatever. So they're going back, and he's like, let me take the ring off. And so I don't know if I can, and Batman touches it, and then a great big old nasty green construct of Sinestro pops out of the ring. Boom! Do not touch my ring! And kind of throws them all on the ground. So, of course, they're a little upset. And he's, like, trying to fly, and he can't. Instead, he makes a great big old car, very detailed, and, you know, the Flash and Superman fly after him, and he eventually gets away. After playing some tricks. But anyway, he's talking to him back, hey, you know, well, yeah. So he goes and hides, sees his sister again, and they talk about what's going on. And, of course, you see another scene of the Third Army assimilating people again. You can't really tell where. And then you're back to the vault, deep in hidden space. And, yeah, okay, so only one was killed. You were right. The rest of them are trapped in there.
Okay. You know, and I wasn't trying to be right. I was like, I just, you know, you're right. That scene in the annual
made more than
just that one
right.
guy.
Well, you only saw the one get his throat cut, so I assumed that they snuck up on him because the rest of them or whatever. But that guy apparently isn't in there with them because they don't know if he's alive or not. And then you see him laying there in the pool of blood. Which I think, wasn't that the guy that was in, like, the antechamber, and they were in the actual vault?
Yes.
Okay, so apparently Black Hand is still there, and he brings him back from the dead with his ring. And they talk back and forth. He's explaining to Black Hand what's going on, and that's when you see Hal and Sinestro talking in this black background. And I think they're probably in the ring, because I bet you that guy that they're talking to is actually Black Hand. That's just my, it's like some kind of realm of the dead or whatever.
What you talking about?
Yeah. So, once again, that story is, you know, the book is pretty much got its own story, but this Third Army thing is in the background. So I think it's like going to take place in three issues of each comic. So there's still some story left. Now, when we get caught up here, is the one that just came out last week, which I almost missed. I actually missed the Green Lantern. I had bought Green Lantern 14, but hadn't read it yet. Now, Green Lantern Corps number 14, which, you know, was ruined for me thanks to the DC Comics blog. Crap, I better go read that. So they're back. They're back. We're back to where Guy left off. His buddy's arm got ripped off to get to his ring, and he was assimilated. And now they're attacking, and they're pouring it on. They're working together, and they put him inside a construct, and they're smacking him around like rag dolls. But they're breaking through the energy, man, and it's not good.
Okay.
So then you find out that not only are they a hive mind, that when they want to, a Guardian can actually take over one of those Third Army guys and use it by remote control. So you see different. So one of them, probably Ganthan, is actually the one controlling one of the ones that's fighting the guy and his buddies. And then they see the rest of them are fighting different ones, and one of them is the one fighting Atrocious, and another one is somehow watching that new Green Lantern.
So let me back up here for a second. Yeah. I know you mentioned before. Excuse me.
Yeah, that's fine.
But Ganthet is also one of the insane.
Yes.
Right.
Back before, I was in one of the early issues of the New Guardians. They all ganged up on him and wiped his brain and made him emotionless.
Oh.
Just like them. So he was converted.
Now, he was the nice Guardian.
Yeah, and then there was the other one, the Saeed, that was his girlfriend. They're the ones that started the Blue Ring people. And she had to, because of stuff happened during the Blackest Night, she promised to be Larfleeze's guardian. Now, what happened to her after the New Guardians number 12, I don't know. So there's still at least one more out there.
You're not keeping up?
Yeah, that was in a book I wasn't reading. So, anyway, so they're still fighting. And they break out of the construct, and he's got them swarming all over him. And the other ones are getting taken down, and they eventually all get assimilated. He just kind of stands there, and he just hits transluminal as fast as he can, using his he's got the leftover hand of that first guy that got assimilated. And he takes off as fast as he can. Well, they can't. You know, and it shows the Guardians looking through the eyes of several of those Third Army guys. And they're talking to the Tsar again, telling him about some kind of go ahead and do the executions. And meanwhile, he shows up on Earth, puts a bubble around all his family, the sister, the father, and the brother, and take him to the Justice League Watchtower satellite for safekeeping.
Okay.
And then Kilowog shows up to Salak, and I was asking him about something, and he's not getting enough new recruits. And Salak's like, what are you talking about? He says, I'm talking about my recruit classes seeming a little bit light. And he says, light in which way? And then Salak's like, oh, you're crazy. You know, my records say everything's fine. And then, of course, they go to where the rings are made. And there's like, his logs say there's only 14 waiting to be given away. But there's like thousands of rings all in not being sent out. So when the Lantern gets killed, it's being held there by the Guardians.
Oh.
They're like, okay, something's not cool here. And they're talking about tracking down Hal. And then at the same time, you see a Star Sapphire doing stuff with her ring that she says, a heart torn asunder. all that good stuff, and she uses her ring to take her to the place, and apparently it takes right to a chunk of Mogo.
So in other words, no one knows what happened to to Hal and to Sinestro, right?
No, nobody knows anything about it. Okay. As far as everybody knows, Hal got drummed out of the core, and he's out of the core. They had no idea that Sinestro went and got him.
Oh.
The only one that knew that, that knows that, I take that back, is Carol, because she was there when Sinestro showed up. So Kyle knows, too.
Oh, okay.
But otherwise, nobody else knows anything about it except for the Guardians. They think they're dead, but they don't know about what's going on with the Black Hand. They used Black Hand to help with their third army thing, but they left him trapped in that vault thing.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, they had no idea.
Interesting. Okay.
So, okay, he's chasing these Mogo things around. They got a mind of his own. That's just busy work for him. But apparently, whatever's going on attracts the Starfire, which is Fatality, of course. And then they cut back to guys going back to Oa. Salak contacts him before he gets there. And he says, be prepared for the worst. Next thing you know, Guardians are chewing his butt. He's trying to tell them, look, you know, what happened, and they're like telling him he was dereliction of duty and he's shameful, and apparently the executions that they talked about were those people he was supposed to protect. So the two or three Lanterns that were with him, they got decimated by that guy.
They got me dead.
Yeah, and they're blaming it on him. It's all his fault because he left them that way and so on and so forth. His family was never in danger. They set that all up to show how insubordinate he is, right?
Nice.
So they laid this big guilt trip on him, and they basically, in front of the entire Green Lantern Corps that's on Oa, make him resign. And he does. They guilt trip him into it. So then, last thing he says, what the hell are you waiting for? Do it. And then they hit him, resignation accepted, in the last scene, he's there in his Green Lantern uniform, smoke coming off of him. He's obviously back on Earth, and he's like kneeling by this motorcycle, and that's how they end it.
Oh, okay.
And that's pretty much it at this point.
Are we caught up on Green Lantern and Corp and Red and, mm-hmm. and?
That's all of them so far.
Okay. So. You did it to me before, and I'm almost there again. The Green Lantern Corps, you keep selling me on it, and then I go and I try it out, and I'm just like, I'm not sold on it, but...
Well, I admit, I dropped the new Guardians title, so...
No, but the Corps, you know, Green Lantern Corps, the Guy Gardner or John Stewart one.
Yeah, well, Peter Tomasi, he's the same one that does Batman and Robin, so there you go.
Which the latest issue of that, by the way, was very cool.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet, but I've got it.
You will enjoy it. It's a nice little very, very brief crossover into the death of the family.
Cool. Story. Yeah. Looking forward to it. It was an interesting cover, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, those covers have been great so far. And
so I'm wondering what's going to... If those are really pieces of Mogo, or that's just something the Guardians came up with that Gardner's dealing with, but the Star Sapphire's tether tapped into one of those things he was picking, you know, down. So I wonder if Mogo's going to reform. But, you know, if you stick with the prophecy that they talked about in Blackest Night, Mogo was supposed to die. He was one of the casualties. Which he didn't then, but he, of course, now he's dead. He's
right.
Dead. So, anyway, that's how they left it. So they made him quit. They broke his resolve and made him quit. And I'm sure it wouldn't take very much, you know, just a little bit of guilt from to John before he does something. So that's what's going on. They're not only being, you know, really ruthless, but they're being devious too. So. They're not playing around.
No, they're not. And the Guardians have always been manipulators. Mm-hmm. And that's been shown for, you know, decades and decades of Green Lantern books. But John's has really made it one of their defining characteristics. I think they even showed it in the movie to a certain degree.
Yeah, I think they did too.
My problem, I'm gonna check out Green Lantern Corps, I think, because like I said, I'm already checking out Green Lantern proper, and I think I'm gonna check out Corps. You did absolutely no sales job on New Guardians, but that's not
it's like a whole new start, and number 13, Zero was like, you know, a zero issue. An actual, totally, you know, it's still Tony Bedard, and I know he's a good writer. He's just not doing it right now.
Right.
And the story that they had in there was, it wasn't any good, and I stopped, I don't know, 6 or 7 issues in. So they've completely, it's a whole new deal, and it's tied into this Third Army more closely than the others, the story is. So it's going to be him trying to get those other emotional spectrums to get through his ring. I'm going to stick with that, at least through the Third Army. But the way they're doing it, it's not really a crossover as much as it's like they're showing their main story, but the Third Army taking people over is in the background. They really don't know what's going on yet. So it's be interesting to see how that develops.
I'm interested. I mean, I would like to see how that goes, and I think you're right. I think you said it before that this is actually going to lead into the next big Green Lantern story, and that's my biggest problem here.
Well, I agree with you. Because I didn't want to read the New Guardians one, but it's interesting enough that I went ahead and checked it out. So it's now, as far as the Red Lanterns go, it's part of the deal, somewhat. So I don't know. I'm kind of interested there.
Maybe that's my problem, and this is something I've said before about other events and such. Is I don't like where there's required reading outside
And you don't really know until you read it. So,
I don't mind that they use it as an opportunity to say, hey, you know, if you want more story, you better go pick up this other book.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think that there should be key pieces of information that are not revealed elsewhere in that book. And I mean, when I say key. I mean, you will be lost for the rest of the storyline unless you go buy, you know, issue XYZ.
See, that's why I picked up the Red Lanterns number 0, because they build it. I mean, if you go on the Comixology and search for Rise of the Third Army, that issue is listed as part of it. But it really didn't have much to do with it. The death of the family, they put in as a prologue Catwoman. That didn't have anything to do with that.
Is that right?
Barely at all. Well, I didn't see. I thought, I don't know about Suicide Squad yet. I'm sure it probably will because it's got Harley in it. But.
Not to get too spoily, but. Mm-hmm. They're doing better with that than apparently they're doing with the Green Lantern. You pick it up and it's got a good Harley story going on in there, and you know you get Adam Glass's take on the Joker, which is pretty cool because Adam Glass writes pretty twisted dialogue, but it's not required. It kind of does a setup for Batman number 14.
Very interesting. And I like how they're doing the story arcs in here on Comixology, because you go through them and it actually, if the next issue is out, it'll actually have a link to it. Here's the next issue. So I was able to go through and start at the first one and very easily able to go on to the next part because it had a link to the next one. So I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
And in the app it did that way. You know, in Comixology, the webpage, it just lists all the issues in order. And they're doing the same thing for Death in the Family. You know, they've got the, you know, Batgirl 13, Batman 13, Catwoman 13, then Batman, Batgirl, and Suicide Squad number 14. And, you know, that's apparently the order. Now, I bet you if I went into the Comixology app and, you know, read through Batman 13, and then there'd be a link to Catwoman number 13. So
that's cool.
That's a good way to do it. It makes it easy. You don't have to track that stuff down. And you can actually search on their website and probably on the app too. That's why I found all of them on there. I did Rise of the Third Army on Comixology, and it brings it up. There's a thing for the preview, free preview thing, or the actual story arc. They list it as a story arc. And you can click a link and say, buy the entire story arc, or gift the entire story arc. So,
Comixology, where were we without you?
Yeah, I mean, this is a case where, you know, it makes it, definitely makes the reading experience better. I mean, yeah, it might be in the back of the comic, but it actually has a link to it. You can go right to it, you know? So, anyway.
No, that's, and they, that's smart, because
yeah,
then,
it is. They should do that with everything.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're working on it.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure that if you, I would not be surprised if, you know, with the Marvel Now stuff,
mm-hmm.
that they, that, you know, if you click on Uncanny Avengers,
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't, you know, say, hey, you know, for more about that story, go pick up the new. Go pick up Avengers or New Avengers.
Right.
Or,
well, and they already were doing it for the next issue of a comic.
Right.
App, you know, if, oh, well, number the next issue's out, here it is. You know, you can buy it and read it, which is helpful for that, those every so often 99-cent ones like they do the Batman Beyond and the other. So I can go back and reread them, and then if there's a new one at the end, the last issue, I can go right to it.
So, okay, so mm-hmm. you got me going again on Green Lantern Corps. I got turned off because they started doing the persecution of Jon Stewart again.
I mean, yeah, just, I agree. That's not, I don't, never did like that, so.
One more time, Jon Stewart is the punching bag for mm-hmm. For the Green Lantern Corps, but
yeah, they're gonna run him through the ringer for sure.
Okay, well, I will check out number. Should I start at zero, or should I? Can I pick up 14 and be on board?
Yeah, you can get it all out of 14.
Okay, I will check out number 14 then, and see, and then if I like it enough, I'll back issue and get. Mm-hmm. 0 and 13.
Yeah, 13 is, you don't really need to get 0 because it's just the guy story, but 13 is where all the setup is, and then you don't see the rest of it. So it's interesting.
So the Rise of the Third Army. So what comes after? What do we get? I wonder if we're going to get a breather, or if it's going to go right into whatever the next.
I'm not really sure. Let's see. I found something that had it. Was on. Here it is. Comic book story arc. Comic Vine. I don't. Yeah, they got the issues listed. And they only stop at 9 though. But the actual preview. Comic that they got in there tells you when all the rest of the issues, what they actually are. So if you go to the Rise of the Third Army arc, the very first one is the preview number one. And that goes into detail. You know, it's a setup for the rest of it. Okay. It lists all the issues and when they're coming out.
All right. Well, I will check out. I will stick with Green Lantern for now unless it gets dumb.
Yeah,
which it could become very repetitive where it's constantly mm-hmm. you're a terrorist, so we have to kill you, run away. You're a terrorist, kill you.
Yeah, I know.
Which seems to be the ongoing theme.
Yeah, that's probably the least involved with it than any of them. It's all about this Green Lantern. You know he's going to be around for the Trinity War.
Yes.
So he might be the new. one for a while, the only one of the sector in, so it should be interesting.
Plus, he's going to be in the new Justice League of America.
Yeah, that's right, he is, isn't he? I don't know how that's going to work. Maybe they're going to, you know, retire Hal for a while. So that should be interesting.
Pardon that didn't sound good.
No, I've got a pretty bad head cold there.
Dude.
Yep.
Dude, knock it off.
I know. So, that's what we got.
Work from home.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to go to the urgent care tomorrow. I don't know if before or after. I haven't decided yet.
Can you go to urgent care on a Sunday?
Probably can, but I've got, you know, I've been up since 11 watching my deployments, and I got to get some sleep before the Chuck E. Cheese festivities start. So my 9-year-old nephew, my nephew's turning 9, so fun.
What a great age.
Yeah.
I constantly want to kill my 9-year-old.
Yeah, he's trying to think of the words. He's pretty fond of himself, let's put it that way.
Precocious.
Yeah, he's just a tad.
All right.
He's very smart, and he knows it, so. Right, and he'll tell you if you ask him, too, so.
Are you smart? Yes, I am smart.
Oh, I'm very smart. Yes. So, anyway, that's what we got for this week.
All right, so if you are sold on any of these books, let Chris know that he did a good job of.
Yeah, I need to get residuals from DC, man. How many times have I done that so far?
I don't know, but I hate to tell you this, but you're not increasing sales on New Guardians.
Well, that one, I mean, I'm not sure how that it's more interesting than it was when I left it, but whether it stays that way or not is another story. The art's really good though. So, anyway,
and it actually, I think of the four books, it has the potential to be the most involved with the First Lantern.
Yeah, I can see that. So I'm wondering if that's what the First Lantern did.
Oh, got all the.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And they decided willpower was the most malleable that they could, you know, manipulate. I don't know.
I just hope it doesn't turn out to be some brand new character, and why didn't they show him all this time? And
well, he's been locked up in a vault. Old Guardians.
I'd like to be an existing character. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
A time traveler or somebody from way back when.
Yeah, I'm going to have to read that article and see what the consensus is about that.
Okay, well, you don't sound so hot, so I'm going to not belabor the conversation.
Yeah, I need to get to bed and sleep as much as I can, and before I have to run some errands. So,
go buy your nephew a cool comic book for his birthday.
Yeah, I gotta go buy. He wants weights.
He wants weights. Oh, like lifting weights.
Yeah, man. He's into sports, so he wants some weights.
I was like, he wants Tom Waits music?
No, he actually wants some weights. I'm going to go get him some weights, and we'll go and probably won't be but three kids there to be plenty of pizza to eat. So,
you know what you should get him? And this is something I'm learning right now. You get those giant rubber band looking things.
Oh, yeah.
Use those for tension, and they work just as well as dumbbells.
Interesting.
I don't think he would appreciate it, given he's 9. But
he might use it to inflict pain and suffering on his younger siblings too. So I can just hear it now. My sister, what did you do?
Uncle Chris gave it to me.
So anyway,
okay.
All right, that's it.
Any closing comments? How can people want to talk to us? If you want to,
you can reach us at podcast at talesfromthelongbox.com, or you can comment on the Facebook page. That's just do a little search in the searchy box, and you know we'll get it. And of course, you can always comment on the actual episodes and comment there, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Okie dokie.
And that's about it for us.
I'm done. I'm scared.